So in this month of February, this love month, if you will, let us open our hearts and our minds to that everlasting love that is available to us, flowing into us all the time, flowing through us all the time. It is that power and that presence that is us, as us, creating through us. And so we have this opportunity today and every day to create that love, that spirit of joy, that spirit of expansion, that spirit of inclusiveness that comes with opening your heart to someone else. And so as we contemplate that, opening our hearts to someone else, let us be mindful about opening our hearts to ourselves. All of the things that come up that were not the highest and best of who we are, we can let it go. And as other people accept us as who we are now, we can be the best of who we are right here, right now, and understand that power, that presence, that loving presence, always giving to us, always saying, yes, my beloved. And so as we seek that love within and we express that love without, that power, that presence, that consciousness that loves to explore is always saying, yes, my beloved, and supports us in everything that we do. Let us choose love for ourselves and for others. And so it is.
So this whole month, we're looking at the theme of all the colors of love. All of the colors of love, all the flavors of love, all the expressions of love. And so we started the month by looking at the source of love within, that this love starts and is within, and we have a sacred relationship. We are intimate with the infinite. We let ourselves be that. And then we allowed, last week, we looked at the flow of that love. In the first place, it flows from us, is into our bodies. It forms our bodies. Our bodies are love in form. Nudge your neighbor. Just notice that's a body that's love in form. Okay? It's a body that's love in form. Yours is too. And so we looked at that. And then today we're going to look at a flow of love in a particular area known as sexuality, which is a specific way of flowing. As we look at next week, we're going to look at the flow of love in relationship with the other, or what appears to be the other. There's a lot of others out there, aren't there? Yeah, but they're really not. So today we're going to look at sacred sexuality. And this is sort of a challenging topic. I've had people who have talked to me who said, oh, I'm attending because you're talking about sex in church. And I've had people who say, I'm not coming because you're talking about sex in church. And all points in between. So just take a breath. Sex is one of the three taboos to talk about in church. Sex, money, and politics. As a minister, you're never supposed to talk about those. And yet, interestingly enough, those are three of the most charged areas of our lives, right? Yep. The masculine consciousness, and I don't necessarily mean men, I mean the masculine consciousness that is within all of us, tends to focus on purpose. It likes a purpose. You know, most men who kind of embody that, you know, like a purpose, right? And so when this purpose isn't a deep relationship with the divine through love, which is really our ultimate purpose in being here, when we're not focusing on what we really want, in other words, sacred sexuality, relationship, all that expression of love, then we tend to go for substitutes that substitute for that. We go for what we think will bring us freedom, which are the symbols of power known as money and politics, right? Okay. So when we're not doing authentic love, we're doing shallow sex, money, or politics. And this is a teaching that is a truth teaching. We call ourselves a truth teaching because we are able, or our intention is, to pierce the veils of illusion so that we can see more clearly the capital R reality that is all of life within and all around us. That's what we're here for. And so if we're afraid to talk about the most taboo veils in our culture, we are not living up to our truth teaching, our willingness to say, yes, I will go there and look at that. Right? If we're not willing to bring the awareness of spirit that lives within us into each and every aspect of life itself, whether that's politics, whether that's money, whether that's sex, whether that's homelessness, whether that's anything, anything, then we are not willing to see clearly, and we are not living our purpose. So today we're going to be adults and talk about sex. Take a breath. The role it does and can play in our lives. So yesterday I was in a meeting with Buffy, and so I can blame her. And she shared with me this Facebook post that had been sent to her. And it was from an organization that wants to be a little more open about just sexuality and have it be more normal. So it says, it goes like this, things to normalize, and it's a list. Masturbation. Genital variation, we all look different. And I would say the ability to define our, to use the terms penis and vagina without, you know, having a nickname or a hissy fit or get all shy. Communicating about consent, menstruation, inclusive pronouns, body hair, communicating about pleasure, menopause, and I will add a word that I recently came across called andropause, which is the male version of menopause. It's a little longer period of time than women, but it happens. And comprehensive sex education for all. Breathe. Breathe. So before we can talk about sexuality and the taboos around it, we need to talk about the cultural taboos underlying that about something called pleasure. So Denny, if I could have the next slide, please. And pleasure is a primary quality of oneness of spirit that should be embraced in all its forms. Sacred sexuality is a practice of mindfulness as well as an activity of creation. Most of us who grew up in Western culture grew up with an inherent belief system that pleasure was wrong. We come out of that puritanical Protestant kind of consciousness. Did you know that the Puritans back in the 1600s and 1700s banned the celebration of Christmas in England and the United States? Yep. They believed it was a time of wasteful and immoral behavior. Talk about not having any fun, right? And then in Catholicism, which is what I grew up in, the term indulgence refers not to a spa day or a particularly delicious piece of chocolate, but the reduction of punishment in the afterlife if you're willing to do certain things. Go visit a sacred site, pay off the local bishop, you know, whatever it is. That's what an indulgence is in traditional religion. Take a breath. So do you see how we can have a skewed relationship with pleasure in general? We feel guilty about it. I mean, even the sitting in church and being proper and not moving a lot, while there's really good music going on, is part of that I'm not going to feel the pleasure of getting my body up and move and groove because, well, this is church and we don't do that here. And all that is conditioning. Let's get the next slide. We are often asked, what's your guilty pleasure? Or sometimes we get asked that. And I love Tom Hiddleston says, what's my guilty pleasure? The thing is, I never feel guilty about pleasures. Wouldn't that be a great way to live? Take a breath. I'm going to invite you to breathe a lot through this talk, okay? So let's look at three layers of our existence. From birth on, we seek three things: comfort, pleasure, and ecstasy. And I would say in a layering of that order: comfort, pleasure, ecstasy. And comfort, if I'm on the right page here, I got myself out of order. Anyways, comfort is the state where everything is good. Not like here right now. Where there's no pain, not like here right now. There we go. So it's this natural state of well-being and no pain, right? That's comfort. Most of us are comfortable with comfort, right? Some of us are too comfortable with comfort. It's that Pink Floyd song, "I'm Comfortably Numb." Okay? The next layer after that, above that, is pleasure. Pleasure comes from gratifying our physical needs and our emotional desires. Pleasure. And we're starting as a culture, we're just taking baby steps to being okay with that. And sometimes we go way into that as a reaction. See, if you're like me and some of my friends, when I grew up in Catholic school, we used the banned book list as our reading list. Right? And so when we were told not to do something, don't go for pleasure, we do what? Go for pleasure. Sometimes way over the line of going for pleasure. The final layer, the topmost layer then, is ecstasy or bliss. And ecstasy or bliss is an experience. It's not an idea. It's an experience of intense fulfillment, contentment, and inner joy. An experience of that. Yes. And conscious, sacred sexuality is one of the most powerful ways to experience this ecstasy. Now, I want to be clear. It's not the only way. Any of us who have had a what we would call a mystical vision, mystical experience, have experienced that. But sexuality is one of the most common ways or available ways that we can experience that. If you put up the next PowerPoint. Margo Anand, who's a tantric teacher, in an essay called "Truth is Erotic," says the damage to human society caused by the condemnation of sex is incalculable. Instead of celebrating sex as a creative force, we turn it into a furtive, guilt-ridden affair. Religion has always tried to control human sexuality because when people become ecstatic, they are free. Mm-hmm. They don't need a priest to have a direct experience of the divine. Yes? Yes. She also goes on to say, we need training in the art of love. Many of the ideas we have about sex keep us confused. Either we view sexuality as a natural impulse that ought not to be interfered with, or we perceive it as something hidden, dirty, and forbidden. It's either just, well, this is just how it is. I don't need to learn anything about it. I don't need to learn how to be better at it. No, it's just this way. Or it's dirty, hidden, and forbidden. The beliefs we have about sex, like the beliefs we have about anything, were given to us, taught to us when we were very young. Right? So if you're uncomfortable about sex, guess where you learned that? Parents, siblings, schoolmates, teachers, other people, the media, everybody. And we were taught either verbally or non-verbally when we were very young, all the stuff about sex. And some of us tried to be good little boys and girls and follow that to the nth degree, and some of us went for the banned book list and the banned movie list and said, no, I'm going to go play. But with guilt and shame. Take a breath. So sexually speaking, the masculine, and when I'm going to talk about masculine and feminine, I'm not talking men and women. Each of us has masculine and feminine energy within us, right? Okay? So when I say masculine, it ain't men. It can be, but it isn't limited to. When I talk about feminine, it's not women. It can be, but it's not limited to. So the masculine force is the force of direction of the energy. And the feminine is the Energy itself, the free-flowing energy, the force of the energy itself. An analogy of this is that the masculine energy provides a structure, provides a riverbank for the flow of the divine feminine energy to flow. And it needs both. We need both. The masculine without the feminine is a dry riverbed, right? And the feminine without a structure comes on big and strong and then just dissipates because there's no structure, no place to channel it. Yes? Take a breath.
Keep breathing.
In sacred sex, we recognize our oneness and we celebrate our two-ness. We recognize our oneness, we celebrate our two-ness. You know, oftentimes we talk in spiritual circles about the world of duality. We live in a world of duality, and guess what? We chose to live in a world of duality. Just notice, you're here, right? Okay? If you didn't choose to live in a world of duality, you would be somewhere else, in a world of unity, right? Complete oneness. But behind the experience of duality is the unity, the oneness that we all are. But we want to play in this because in duality, we get to experience love. We get to experience joy. We get to experience all this stuff because we have bodies and we can come and play with that. Yes? In case you don't know, that's why you all signed up to be here. You may have forgotten that. You were probably talked out of that a long time ago, but that's why we all chose to be here. And so even if we're alone, we can still celebrate our oneness and our two-ness within ourselves because we all have masculine and feminine energy within us. Our capacity to love our lover is our capacity to love the world. Our capacity to love our lover, to be open, to be vulnerable, to being conscious and paying attention to the other, is our capacity to do the same thing in the world. Because again, there's only one of us. Our lover and the world and I are one. Yes? Yes. Just checking. When we give our deepest gifts to our partner, we give our deepest gifts to the world. When we share from our heart with this one who's in front of us, we are sharing with the entire world, from the entire world. We bring all of us to each other. And so we are love. We are love, living as love. You know, a lot of times we put down on a list, I want to be loved. It's like, you already are loved. In fact, you're not only loved, you are love itself in form. But we believe that we're separate from love. And so that sends us off on chasing around to all sorts of places, right? Looking for love in all the... Yeah. Because love is not outside of us. It's within us. And when we come to life as love, expressing love in every aspect of our lives, then we are in authentic communion with the divine being what we are here to be. We are built to grow spiritually by giving and receiving the love consciousness that's within us, including in our bodies. Remember our bodies, we talked about this last week, are love in form, right? Yes, remember? Those of you who were here, I know not everybody's here. We are, our bodies are love in form. And so as we share this love in our bodies, we share the love that is the infinite. When we close off through hurt and shame and old beliefs, and do you know somebody like that? I know none of you have that, but you probably have met somebody like that once. Okay. When we close off through hurt, shame, and old beliefs, we keep a lid on our painful feelings, but that same lid also holds down our true self, our real love. The same lid. Charlotte Castle, who in an essay called The Zen of Lovemaking, says, when sexuality is not married to spirit and heartfelt relationship, it risks being a superficial experience driven by ego and biology with the all too common qualities of owning, acquiring, controlling, acquiescing, possessing, and self-satisfaction with scant concern for one's partner. Anybody relate? Take a breath. We have come here to share our love with the world. We've come here to share our love. That's why we are here. If I can get the next slide. Charlotte Castle also says, the union of mystic lovers is grounded in truth, connection, and a willingness to crack open our shells, to know and be known. It is earthy, yet transcendent. This is living in the fullness of our human-divine experience, because we are human-divine, divine-human. So this week, you ready? Anne's already giggling back there. Breathe. Consider making love with a Zen beginner's mind. Consider making love with a Zen beginner's mind. Bet you never thought you'd be in a church and hear the minister say, yeah, make love this week. Consider making it with a Zen beginner's mind. When you take off your clothes, also remove your mental and emotional coverings. Slip on into your body. Most of us are not in our bodies, you know that? Most of us are not fully present in our bodies, or we're present in parts of them but not other parts. Slip into your body. I remember hearing an interview with Anthony Robbins, yes, thank you. Anthony Robbins, and it was back when he was doing NLP stuff and hypnosis, and they said, is it hard to put people in a trance? And he says, no, it's hard to get people out of the trance. Out of the trance they're already in. So we're not really present in our bodies. So slip into your body. We're going to remove your emotional and mental coverings, slip consciously in your body, and allow your creative, intuitive side to awaken and play. Make love with a completely empty mind. Ooh, now there's a challenge. Being in this moment, being in this moment, being in this moment, being in this moment. Not expecting something, not hoping for something, not trying to make something down the road happen. Being present in this moment with what is going on. If thoughts do show up, let them be that you or both of you, if you're with a partner, know love and the source of love. That you have a deep experience with that capital L love that is the universe. That's your spiritual practice this week. Are you willing? Some are. Take a breath. It doesn't have to be sex as we define sex, by the way. Our sexuality is more than just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Our sexuality is our way of beingness. And so when we take time to be in that place consciously, to be in that state of that infinite love expressing through body, we are tapping into our sexuality. I want to close with a quote, and it's on the next PowerPoint, if you would, please. If we are to merge sexuality and spirituality, we need to rekindle a childlike bodily innocence and feel at ease with the sensations that arise from touch, exploration, and connection. While sex can be a transcendent experience, it is also about flesh, smells, tastes, fluids, writhing in pleasure, and all the sounds of sexual arousal and excitement. Sexuality creates a torrent of energy in the body that can expose our hiding places and rip loose our fears, anger, shame, and grief, along with our joy, delight, and tenderness. To be open to sexuality as a life-giving experience is to invite all our emotions, our whole self, to join us in bed. I invite you to let your whole self join you in life, everywhere, including in bed. We have an affirmation. Say it with me. I embrace my whole self today. Put that into your body. Come on. I embrace my whole self today. And so it is.
So today in the teen group, we learned about how revelations related to self-love, and how when you have a revelation or kind of like a eureka moment for your spirit, then it's kind of the realization of loving yourself and following what you learn about yourself that you need to do in order to care for yourself and in order to care for the people around you.